What are your views on reincarnation or other ways in which levels of consciousness development are transmitted from one life to another? Are we all born at the same level and with the same capacity? Do we get to continue our work in more than one lifetime?
Reincarnation is something that I think is one of the very difficult issues to deal with, in part because where I think many of us have had an experience, certainly at least as of a temporary glimpse or an altered state. Many people have had transpersonal experiences, Satori, Kensho, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Sahar Samadhi, but have not had a direct experience of a past life. And so empirical sort of first-person knowledge becomes very, very tricky under these circumstances. A Zen master can demonstrate Satori, on a drop of a dime, but not his or her past lives. Dalai Lama says he can't remember his past lives, but I'm supposed to believe that Shirley MacLaine can. I have trouble with this. So that's just the beginning of the problem. The second is that there's always been a very, very esoteric understanding of reincarnation, which was put by Shankara when he said the Lord is the one and only transmigrant. In other words, there's only one self, the same one self we were talking about earlier, and that's what transmigrates. That's what's reborn in every holon, frankly. But that's, I think that is true, but it does beg the question, which is, okay, but what about my relative soul on its way to enlightenment? Does that puppy transmigrate, and however you want to conceive it? And the traditions are pretty clear that it does. There are very few of them that disagree with that. And it becomes difficult, as I say, because the evidence for it becomes much, much shakier than the evidence for, let's say, Satori. You can go in and put somebody in Nirvikalpa Samadhi. You can hook them up to an EEG machine and get readouts in the brain that something is happening. But you can't put somebody in and say, hook up the EEG machine and say, that's right, you're experiencing yourself, building the pyramids 4,000 years ago.
Or
We
even if
have
they
proof.
are having that subjective experience, it's maybe they're very creative.
Very, very tough.
Imagine.
You look at the guy that's done the most empirical research, E.M. Stevenson, and I think the title of one of his books is a very appropriate title. He comes up with titles like 20 Cases Suggestive of Reincarnation. Because they're still just that. At most, they are suggestive. And it's very hard to prove, for example, some of the evidence is typically that something happened to me when I was 2 years old, and it was appeared to have something to do with a previous life, and only somebody could have known about that information. And then they checked on that information and found out it was true. Now, on the one hand, and that seems to indicate that I was reborn. But on the other hand, whoever had that knowledge, I could have just read their mind with telepathy. Once you allow non-physical existence, it's very hard to narrow down just what version of ghosts you're getting.
Like when they came up with the title GESP or General ESP to talk about all the different types of things, the precognition, or are you directly getting it from someone? It
Exactly.
becomes very hard
Very
theoretically.
hard to pin down.
Charlie tried to spend a good time explaining that, and it's.
Right. Charlie's done terrific research in this area, and he'd be the first one to tell you that it's just damn hard to pin down once you open up the Pandora's box of that kind of existence. My Aurobindo added another kind of twist that I always thought made a certain amount of sense to me anyway, which is that the soul, in order to endure the rigors of a transmigration, has itself to be fairly highly evolved. Otherwise, it just dissipates on the shock of the, re-entry or
Well, that
whatever.
would almost be like some of the modern magical theories where they say you don't actually achieve a soul for real until you've done a lot of work and you stabilize it.
Yes, I think that's the general idea of what's coming across here. Theoretically, that makes sense to me. Theoretically, I believe that the soul does transmigrate, that it the basic it continues to do so until it has permanent access to causal states. I theoretically believe that the bardo realm, that the transmigration occurs, is the same as the subtle or dream state. It's classically or traditionally maintained that if you can, for example, permanently access lucid dream state, that you can control your dreaming intentionally, then when you die, it's the same process. You go through a dream state and you can control your rebirth. The same process, because it's the same state. And if you're conscious during the dying process and remain conscious into the bardo realm, then you can to some degree select how the rebirth process goes. I think that makes theoretical sense. If you get to the point where you have permanent access to causal or formless state, you have a further choice given you, according to the tradition, says you don't have to come back at all. You can simply remain in the formless, nirvanic state and not be reborn. That is clearly the aim of Theravadin tradition, is to get off the circle of samsara entirely. By the time you then add the non-dual traditions, they replace that with the notion of bodhisattva, which is, whether you're enlightened or not, you're coming back. You're coming back to help the rest of us who are still here. All of those make theoretical sense to me. I don't have the kind of empirical evidence for them that I do for Satori, or Nirvikalpa Samadhi, or Sahar Samadhi. But I've had a direct experience of that kind of thing. Many people have had direct experiences of Nirvikalpa Samadhi, whereas very few people have had a direct experience of going through the bardo realms and being, you know, past lives of 20 and 30 and 40 lifetimes ago.
Other than some of these near-death examples.
Well, and that's fine too. Again, it gets a little dicey in terms of how you're actually interpreting it. The near-death experience to me, though, is not really evidence of reincarnation. It's evidence of these higher states that you can access. And if you actually look at what they're tending to do, it's not very different from accessing Savikalpa Samadhi or Nirvikalpa Samadhi or something. It's a direct experience they're having, and they come back and they tell you about that direct experience. It doesn't prove that they were reborn. The same as having Satori doesn't prove that you were reborn. I'm just saying it's a different type of evidence. It's much, much harder to get the transmigration evidence.
Got it.
So all the things that I gave you make theoretical sense to me, but I myself have never experienced a past life. Whereas the other type of evidence I'm mostly, you know, working with, Nirvikalpa Samadhi or Sahar Samadhi or Bhava Samadhi, there's direct evidence for that. Many of us have experienced those. We have EEG things showing that something's going on in our brain, probably just, you know,
you're right, quadrant kind of guy.
So theoretically, I think it makes sense, but it's real hard to come by evidence for it.
All right, let's move on here.